You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Big Suey. A podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
So, Stugatz, we haven't actually, in moving away from ESPN, spent a whole lot of time talking a whole lot of politics. I told you for a long time around here that I don't have very much interest in politics and that I'm a person who does enjoy having stimulating conversations about race and, you know, wealth disparity and just generally speaking. I'm fascinated by the human condition, but politics has not been part of it for me. It's not something that I find interesting in any way. But Senator Tommy Tuberville. Now, this one is...
Oh, God.
I know, right? This one's just amazing. It's amazing, Stugatz, because many people point out that all the stock photos of Tuberville are like him losing to Memphis by 30 points at wherever it was he was at, Cincinnati or whatever program he went to. He's known as the failed Auburn coach, and the Auburn coach is the best job that he had, the best job that he did, correct? He just sort of bounced around college football, just a guy who was around for a long time, parlayed it into being the third most notable Auburn coach of the last 15 years, third, fourth.
You're going Gus Malzahn, and who else you putting in there? Pat Dye?
I believe he won a share of a national title, an AP share of a national title. He had a really good team there with Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown. But yeah, actually in yesterday's show, when you mentioned old steroid head and his younger wife taunting LeBron James, I thought when you mentioned yesterday about the investigation that you were doing, that you uncovered all the campaign contributions that they made to Donald Trump, those two fans.
No.
But now in a related story, we talk about Tommy Tuberville.
He says he doesn't know anything. Now, if you weren't following any of what was going on with him, because he wouldn't debate anybody, Stugatz, he didn't know or doesn't know what the three branches of government are. The Stugatz know the three branches of government? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebitard Show.
There's three.
Does Stugatz know the three branches of government? This is what he said about Marjorie Taylor Greene, a woman who, by basically any account, no matter what your politics are, Marjorie Taylor Greene is at the far, far extreme of some of this QAnon stuff and some of this lunatic fringe. And Tuberville says he doesn't know anything about her because the bad weather has prevented him from reading the news.
Executive branch, judicial branch.
The bad weather.
And special teams. Those are the three units.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you got to win in all three phases.
Yeah.
All three phases.
What is this? What is this new tactic? You guys tell me, okay? Because like I said, I am a political novice. But the move of the last 4 years that could not be disputed at any turn is anytime Trump did things, people would go over to where McConnell was, and McConnell's thing would be, Didn't see it. Don't know what you're talking about. Haven't heard of it. Don't know what you're talking about. Haven't read up on us being in bed with Russia. No, don't know what you're talking about. So is that now the Republican handbook? I'm saying this seriously, just not, is that the thing that you do where, well, I don't know, weather was bad, don't know what you're talking about. Keep it moving.
It's what I've been doing for my entire life.
How is Tuberville in charge of anything? How is Tuberville?
Because he ran as a Republican in Alabama. It's not exactly a real challenge in that state, though. He was up against an incumbent, I believe, over there. Yeah, now McConnell's resorted to just sprinting away from reporters when they see him coming out of certain offices.
Is he doing the Billy Gillespie? Is that the Stugat still loves that move from 15 years
the
ago?
Best, yeah.
In scandal at Kentucky with the media chasing him down, Billy Gillespie took a fake phone call. Billy Gillespie pretended I got the right guy. It's also a great name for it. Just first name Billy. It's not Bill
Gillespie
and last name Gillespie. It's for some reason I associate him much like you associate Tommy John surgery with a certain thing. I associate Billy Gillespie with the move of faking the cell phone call to avoid the press.
Fake phone call scurrying through the hallways. It was fantastic. By the way, it was Gene Chizik who won the national championship at Auburn. He's the greatest coach in Auburn history. That slides Tuberville down the fourth.
I wonder what happened there with Chizik.
Yeah. What do you think?
Always.
Well, the same thing that happened to Coker, isn't it?
Well, no, because Chizik built it where it was handed to Coker, but Chizik built it and there was all sorts of controversy and he never got another shot.
Well, Coker never got another shot either.
Yes, he did. Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, Roadrunner.
That doesn't count.
What do you mean? It's a startup.
Like, will you go look at the record of Larry Coker at University of Miami? I think it was the greatest start in the history of any coach ever. Won like 31 of his first 32 games. Or something. And then, do you realize how odd it is to just say, Mike, seriously, let's think about this for a second. You know what, guy? Your teams were so good that we don't think you had anything to do whatsoever with why it is that you were good. And we're not going to give you another job because we think you're the reason that it got bad.
Coker was 60 and 15.
No, but how did
he started
start?
24 and 1.
24 and 1.
He went 12-0, 12-1.
And the one was losing in Ohio State, losing the Ohio State Fiesta Bowl. Is that the one?
Yes.
Those were the most loaded teams in the history of South Florida sports.
And the next year they went 11-2 and lost, won the Orange Bowl. And then it went downhill for Larry.
But think about that. So then Larry Coker's just got a gap in his resume. He's gone. You know, champion. How many first round picks on those teams? I think Ohio State beat that Miami team, and they had like 14 draft picks on their team, something ridiculous, but it just wasn't Sean Taylor and Willis McGahee and Frank Gore.
Those running backs kept putting up this graphic, which I found very interesting, the best running back from each draft class, because sometimes you have this one that was, you know, a surefire thing, and then you have someone drafted guys, some late-round guys, and there is like a four-year block where it's just all University of Miami running backs that were certifiable, potential Hall of Famers, and definitely the best running backs in their class. It's what Alabama has going on now.
I'm looking at the 2001 roster right now. Dorsey was obviously the quarterback.
That is the greatest team that I have ever seen assembled in college sport.
But just listen to this. As Mike was saying, Portis, Davenport, McGahee, Frank Gore, Jarrett Payton was the fifth running back on that team. The team also had Andre Johnson.
Walter Payton's kid. Well, was three-fourths of the secondary? Oh, we're now glory daying on 20 years ago Miami football. The point is Larry Coker ruined it all and then was sent to some outpost with tumbleweed in Texas, and we never heard from him again, and that's strange.
Yeah.
But is it as strange as Gene Chizik, Mike? Which is stranger in terms of disappearances? So you guys are telling me that Tuberville was the coach of the Cam Newton, Ronnie Brown, Cadillac?
No, Cam Newton was Gene Chizik. Jason Chizik. Campbell.
Yeah. Oh, Jason Campbell.
That was a really good Auburn team.
No, but you saw what I just did there. You saw what I just
I'm
did.
I'm just moving on. They both have a one on their jersey.
My timeline guilt there of skewing eras also made two black quarterbacks the same guy.
Well, thankfully this week we've established that your timelines are pretty bad now.
Chizik was 5-19 at Iowa State. How did he get the Auburn job? because and he was terrible at Auburn except for that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's curious. Perhaps let's look at the quarterback that had a whole suitcase scandal where the dad was just treating him as if he were a free agent. And Nick Fairley, that team was amazing.
That's a good. What happened there. That is a good old fashioned scandal.
That is a pump and dump.
A suitcase.
That was a pump and dump for Auburn.
Do you realize that if we could just get some honesty, if we didn't take these things so seriously, how amazing do you think getting the real details on the recruitment of Cam Newton in college when they were all looking at him and being like, wait a minute, if we put this behemoth at quarterback, we're going to go 12-0, whether it's Gene Chizik or anybody, Larry Coker or anybody. We're going to go 12-0 because we're going to give Cam Newton something that will think about what that transaction is. No matter how much money they were giving him, think of the value that they were saving in terms of money being created by putting him in the huddle. You give him, like, it's the most short-sighted thing ever. Here, we're going to give you $500,000 cash. Also, you're going to make millions of dollars for our program the moment you step in the
huddle. They were 14-0.
So, let me see if I get this one right, Coach Chizik. The guy that was backing up Tim Tebow and had this laptop scandal hits the open market after some time, and Mississippi State offers him cash. All the reputable reports say that, but he decides he's going to turn down that cash and come to Auburn instead. No questions asked, everything clean, okay, all right, great.
Well, let me ask you guys this question at a time that we find ourselves in sports where greatness, Stugatz, you've seen it examined in sports in interesting ways recently. There's going to be a 9-part series on Tom Brady. We saw what we did with The Last Dance. There's going to be another one of those on Jeter. The 2-part one on HBO on Tiger Woods was amazing. But as we're sitting here in this time in sports, and what we're seeing is LeBron James. Dwayne Wade is now saying that this is the best LeBron he's ever seen. This one right here. That what he can do right now
really
is the best LeBron James that he's ever seen because of how smart he is. So what I want to ask you is, when presented with the following information, Tom Brady has aged differently than any quarterback before him. Fact. LeBron James has aged differently with an indestructible body that has no precedent for the miles on it in the sport better than anyone ever his age in that sport as it relates to excellence. Combine that with the conversation we were just having about Alabama and the conversation that we were having about Auburn. If you believe everyone in college sports is cheating and everyone is competitive, then in order to believe that Alabama is totally clean on what you're getting, and there are no indications that they aren't anything but totally clean. Nick Saban is a clean disciplinarian CEO. But what you have to then believe is they are better at doing it straight than all the other schools are at cheating.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's okay. What I'm saying is, though, when it comes to greatness that we're presently witnessing as it relates to LeBron James, the Alabama team, and Tom Brady, the pillars of our time.
Yep.
If they're aging differently than others, or if they're better than all of the cheaters still, does it not make you ask any questions about whether or not what you're seeing is real and as pure as you think it is? Like, have we learned nothing from what the last 30 years have taught us in sports, that when something is too good to believe, that it might be too good to believe? Like, for there not to be any questions to me, and I understand it's Super Bowl week, and journalism is applauding largely just sports these days. There's an occasional concussion story, but you see ESPN is getting out of the journalism business. It's right. Let's go back to hero worship. Let's go back to getting all the Muhammad Ali sort of politics out of sports and go back to the time when Michael Jordan ruled, because we didn't have to think about any of this complicated stuff.
I'm just assuming that there is something, I don't want to say, well, I guess nefarious going on with LeBron James and Tom Brady. I'm just not certain anyone really cares, because the nature of that sport, football, because it's so violent, I don't think anyone would blame Brady.
No, but Stugatz, not only would they blame them, they would feel betrayed by them, they would scorn them, and it wouldn't come with a compassion or an understanding.
Wait, you think fans think this is happening naturally, that Tom Brady is aging in a way that no one has ever aged in the history of America?
Happening is the word.
Whatever,
you were going
I'm tired, and my mom died. And so what I'm telling you, and it's Super Bowl week, And so I just got a lot going on. But you think, and my mom is dead, in case I haven't mentioned that. You think, you're telling me this right now, you think people think there's a person out there that thinks Tom Brady has done this naturally? Dead mom. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're out of your mind, man.
You think that the people listening to this right
they
now...
They all assume that he cheated, yes.
You guys think... I don't think that's true, Stugatz.
Dan, he is at an age playing in the Super Bowl where most quarterbacks are being enshrined into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's the deal. The great quarterbacks. Steve Young at 42. Dan Marino at 40-something. He's playing in Super Bowls. Those guys were going to the Hall of Fame at this age. How can you explain that?
Let me ask you the question another way, Stugatz, because when I talked to Nick Wright, South Beach Sessions, earlier this week, you should check it out. One of the things that we've been talking about since that conversation is him noticing that of all the places where people were doing their sports taking, no one had taken the make the argument that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. He couldn't believe that corner was open. He said, okay, I'll take that. I'll make it mine. You're telling me right now that the corner is open, Stugatz. The corner is open if you want to report or accuse in a way that gets heard LeBron James or Tom Brady of cheating for using HGH or steroids. That's available to you. Nobody's taking that. You're telling me you think that the audience is so naive that they would possibly believe this was being done purely. And I'm telling you that you're presently saying something on the radio that I don't see anyone in sports saying. I don't see anyone in sports saying, yeah, Tom Brady and LeBron James must be cheating. Alabama must be cheating.
First off, if they are, and I believe that they are at some point, at some level, both LeBron and Tom Brady are. I don't care. Like, I'm good with it.
But I got that, Stu. That's what I'm saying. You can be non-judgmental about it. You've changed. You were, when you began as a sports radio host, you were wagging a finger at all the cheaters. That's what you were doing in your early 30s.
I have Brady and Mahomes playing this Sunday in large part because I believe Tom Brady has done something that allows him to play at the age of 43 when no one else has been able to do it.
You're being careful enough, but... And Dan kind of did this to you. He had the bear trap there, and you just picked up the delightful piece of cheese, and you're giving him everything that he wants without him actually saying it. We're having the conversation Dan's always wanted to have.
I haven't said
no,
it.
No, but
But you want me to say it.
I haven't. You did say it.
Yeah, you said it for him, which is what his whole plan all along. And now he takes the other side, and he's like, well, you're the one that said it when that's the whole plan here.
I don't mind being the one that says it.
Dan, you always lament people, in absence of an explanation, when we see something unprecedented, you always, or not even unprecedented, when we see something that we can't really explain, like, wow, how is Jared Goff good? Well, it has to be the coaching, and you've always lamented that. Your entire sports journalism career, you're like, stop. Just because you can't explain what's happening here, don't put it on coaches. Well, on the other end, let's not put it on some substance that's making them better. There is. As science advances, as training methods advance, I don't mean science in like steroid terms. I mean the way people are training their bodies. That has come a long way. It is entirely possible that right now we are living in the generation of the greatest athletes to ever play their sport. And that's what you're seeing with Tom Brady and LeBron James.
And I would just ask you, because I wasn't actually headed down the path of they are cheating or are they cheating. The question I was trying to ask is, where's the cynicism? That's the question that I was asking. When too good to be true arrives, we've gotten to such a cynical point in our sports fandom with so many betrayals. You got to watch this Tiger documentary, Mike. You'll be fascinated to relive what it is that happened there in terms of you're a hero, now you're disgraced, now you're a hero again, and there are no nuances here. What I would argue, I'm with Sally Jenkins when she wonders aloud on Lance Armstrong, aren't we doing the judgments all wrong when it comes to people who compete for a living trying to gain an advantage through science? Like, of course they're going to. They're multi-million dollar industries. If LeBron's spending $1 million on his body, of course he's going to get the best science possible to keep that body exactly right so that it can be indestructible. And of course you shouldn't judge that. We should all care so much about our jobs and the investment that is our body. I'm just asking, where's the cynicism? Because I'm used to seeing it. I saw what happened to Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and how they were dragged down. I see the contradiction of A-Rod's allowed to do whatever he wants in the media, but Lance Armstrong has to be hugely disgraced.
Yeah, but that's one sport, and the other sport is wrapped up in the American flag. Like, it's, we only cared about it once a year when Lance was actually a participant. It's one sport, Dan, that we care about, the steroid use, which is baseball, but, and I'm not even certain we care about it anymore.
I'm not saying just steroids. The reason I lumped Alabama in the same thing, I'm talking about the greatness for our time and what it takes to be great at our time. You have to beat all the other cheaters. You have to beat all the other competition-aholics. You've got to be someone who's... We started with Tommy Tuberville, who made his fame to real now American political power by not being anything close to what Nick Saban was. He was talking about Gene Chizik. What got erased there? Whatever suspicion or cheating got erased there, it got erased by Alabama being better at not cheating than Chizik was at cheating.
But where do you want there to be cynicism? From the public? From the journalists? Like, where? Because the public, I think there is some cynicism. I just think we don't care because it feels good. It feels good to have Brady versus Mahomes. It's amazing that LeBron is still playing at this level. Imagine an NBA without LeBron James at this point. It wouldn't be nearly as fun. And so I think there is cynicism from fans and the public. I think it's journalists you're talking. Why are they asking the questions?
I'm talking about everybody, Stugatz. I honestly am. When I'm looking at greatness for our times and wondering if there are questions that you're allowed to ask, because the reason the Tiger Woods documentary landed the way that it did is it felt like everything that happened around him was unfair. Like, looking back on it, we all lived it, but looking back on it, the reason that it was interesting to me is if Tiger Woods did indeed do something to repair a body that was broken, that developed a pain addiction medicine that had him arriving at rehabbing for sex addiction and drug addiction. One of the athletes of our time who came through this entire labyrinth that spit out Jeter and Brady and Michael Jordan. And are these not the four myths of our time? Is this not the Mount Rushmore of our athletic time? Nobody else gets to climb in there yet, correct? Maybe LeBron is in there now, but we're talking about Tom Brady, Michael Jordan. We're talking about sports across our generation.
Yeah.
These are the guys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We're telling their stories now in these huge, sprawling documentaries, trying to let you get to know these human beings. How did they become great? And what I'm telling you is that HBO did a better job in two series, in two episodes with Tiger Woods explaining to me how that became great. A guy I've covered and watched for 20 years that I hadn't put all the pieces together that way, did a better job of it than a documentary that was done with Michael Jordan's consent that was the most popular one in America during the pandemic, and everyone loved the reliving of the mythology, but explained next to no one. How did that happen? How was he able to beat everybody? And then what's the answer? Oh, he lifted weights. You see how he got to 215. LeBron's beating everyone at 270.
He wanted it more, Dan. Everyone
that is what that. It is. Yes. See, that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is that we're talking about, it put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Mm-hmm. Did Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods simply want it more?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Billy, why have I heard you talking about glass blowing? I've seen this show on Netflix and I haven't checked it out, but it made me think of that and you, because is that the show you were watching? Is that the reason You were talking about glass blowing?
Of course, Dan. Blown away. You haven't seen it. You've just seen of this show. It's such a good show. You need to watch it. Why haven't you watched it yet? It's like Forged in Fire, except instead of swords, they're making glass. And these people can make anything out of glass. You think, what can I make out of glass? A vase? A glass to drink out of? A plate? No, you can make anything out of glass, it seems. And there's an art form to it. You blow into this big pipe, and then it makes it bigger and bigger like a balloon. Have you not seen this? Then you roll it around, and you get some color on it. They can make anything out of glass. They made a sippy cup out of glass. Why did they do that? I don't know, but they did it.
Before this show, you knew, right, the way that glass got blown. You had seen all of that with the fire. Those are that was not new to you, correct?
No, Dan. I've been to Epcot Center. I've seen them blow glass inside of the Mexico Pavilion.
Okay.
I've seen it.
You're cultured. My bad. You saw it at the Orlando Epcot. You have the culture. But what's good about this show?
They're making glass. They're making everything out of glass. Are you? What are you missing about this? It's incredible how they make glass. And by the way, this is season two of that. There was already a first season. That's how there's a second season now. And it's incredible. The challenges, they're so creative. They say they're very like, you know, they don't tell you exactly what to make. It's not like, hey, make me a rhinoceros out of glass. No, they say, hey, make me something that your heart desires that you'd find in the wilderness. Well, not exactly like that. That's a horrible example, but they're kind of vague, so you can take it in any direction you want it to go, Dan.
Has he made you guys want to watch this show? Are any of you more interested in glass blowing than you were two yammering minutes ago?
No, but what's the craziest thing you've seen them make out of glass? Maybe, perhaps I'll get more interested if you sell it that way. Like, what have you seen them make?
I mean, I've seen them make all kinds of things. What do you want them to make? And I'll tell you if I've seen
I was looking to make a joke about glass in which I took an injured player, but I couldn't think of who the modern day guy is who's always hurt, so they say that he's made of glass. I wanted to throw a name in there, but I wasn't going to be able to do anything that wasn't musty and contaminated.
Marcus Mariota?
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I had nothing.
Christian Pulisic.
Remember Steven Glass? That was a thing, huh? Shattered glass?
Wait a minute. You didn't just do that. Yes, I do remember Shattered Glass, the story of a fallen journalist. What I don't know is why you did that. Remember Stephen Glass was going to take us where conversationally as a show?
Well, I was hoping you'd take over. You're the journalist. You know more about it than I do.
But all you gave me was remember Stephen Glass? Yeah, Shattered Glass. That's what you tossed in my lap.
Oh, did I leave out that was wild? I meant to say that was wild, huh?
What a story that was.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
That was back when the news was credible and such a thing was. Think about what a quaint time that was. A journalist not telling the truth, being a fabricator, and all of journalism has fallen in the 10 years since.
I love the movie, too, because it was also back at a time where Hollywood thought Hayden Christensen had more charisma than a sack of potatoes, but they ended up being wrong on that. But the whole like research as to how, wait a second, he's making these up was... It's just people typing into a keyboard with their index fingers and they're like, internet. He used internet.
That's what it was, right? What is the year for Shattered Glass? Is it 2005? Is that 15 years ago? How long ago is the story of failed New York Times journalist? Now, he was just writing total fabrication stories that were not being fact-checked well enough and were just made up. They were simply made-up stories.
It was 2003.
Man, that's... what a time.
That was the movie. It happened in 98, I think.
Yeah. Chloe Sevigny was an art house. Hey, whoa, Hank Azaria was in that film. That's right.
Billy really gave you nothing, man.
Yeah, he really did. But
it's like Willie Glass. Remember him?
Stephen Glass. Yeah. Here we are. How do we start this? We started this in a forge, blowing glass. There was this one time that they made this glass foot that appeared to be walking while stepping on bubble gum. So it's a very clear foot, and then attached to it appears to be bubble gum being lifted off the ground. And it's not bubble gum. It's glass. And it's not a foot. It's glass.
Mike, you mentioned Hank Azaria. Can you look up his IMDb, please? And let's just marvel at all the things that he's been in that we didn't know he's been in. Because somebody told me the other day he was in Friends, and I don't even remember that.
Yeah, wasn't he dating Phoebe?
He was dating Phoebe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry to know that off the top of my head.
Pretty sad.
I was doing research on him the other day. But I deserve it. Being able to rattle out one off so quickly. And like friends.
I answered way too quickly.
You
as
guys
well,
got in there real quick. He was in Dodgeball. What else? Roy, this is your wheelhouse. This is your special wheelhouse. If you were to stun the audience with something that Hank Azaria has been in that the audience might not consider or remember that he was in, what would you go with?
Hmm.
It is tough. It's tough.
Not Mystery Man, not Mystery Alaska. He was in two movies that had the word
no,
mystery.
Those were the disasters in his career. He could have parlayed Birdcage into
disasters?
A...
Disasters?
No, Mystery Man. Alaska was pretty good.
Guys. Great. Guys,
Blue Raja, that rings eternal.
Oh, it's great. The Shoveler?
Guys.
He didn't even wear blue.
It's a great movie.
I don't think you guys understand
Oscar snub.
What those three movies did to Hank Azaria's career. Okay, he was somebody who in Birdcage.
He was in the Birdcage?
Did an impersonation of his abuela, which he would not do today and might be homophobically sort of insensitive. If it were portrayed today.
I remember this. He played policeman in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Go back with homophobia.
And so after that, because the role was so strong and people saw what a great actor he was, he had his choice of movies. He was going to be a leading man in Hollywood, and the choices were Mystery Men, Mystery Alaska, and Godzilla, and that ended that dream.
He was in Pretty Women?
He was in Pretty Woman, actually.
Oh,
yeah. Which was, first one.
Why do you have so much trouble with that word, Stugatz? Like, you had no confidence when you
said
Pretty Woman. You said Pretty Women in your ear
he
as well?
He said Pretty Women in my ear, and I was smiling from ear to ear because I'm like, there's like a better than 50% chance he actually
Why
says the same
Why is that
mistake.
So hard for you?
Listen, Funeral Week. I mean, come on, man.
Was it the sequel? That's good.
I have a heart. I mean,
good.
She gave birth to me then.
Your mom's? Why are you making it plural?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.